turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll begin reading at verse 25. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let sin go down upon your anger. Do not grieve the devil, do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would take the message this morning. Holy Spirit, guide us into all truth. Bring about your work of conviction and edification. May we only see the Lord Jesus Christ in the Word and not man's opinion. For we pray it in thy name. Amen. All right. As you know, it almost goes without mentioning, we've been studying the book of Ephesians. Here's a brief outline of the book. In Ephesians chapter 1 through 3, you had your position in Christ of what you have, your salvation, and what that means. That's foundational in the book. You might say that was the doctrine that the Apostle Paul is laying down. The next section is transitional in a sense in working toward what we begin today. But the principles for practical living, some framework to that, adding it's kind of a doctrine mixed with a little bit of practical application. You need to be unified as a prisoner of the Lord. I implore you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling with all humility. Be of one body, one spirit, and so forth. And we looked at that whole section there. And it's filled with some practical instruction. We're going to see this morning, verse 15, but speak the truth in love. But having got through that foundation and then to the framework, he really gets down to some specifics. Look, if you would, please, if you wouldn't, in your Bible at verse 24. You are to put on the new self. And we laid the foundation in previous messages that you have a new nature in Christ, yet a sinful flesh, but you are to be Christ-like. You are to live out what you are. And you are to put on Christ. Put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. And as he stops right there, you might ask yourself this question very specifically. Hey, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I realize that I have a new nature in him, that I've been regenerated, born again. I desire to live and walk with God. But as he tells me to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, to put on this creation that I have, and I want to just clarify, little aside here, only the work of Christ can do this. Remember what you are and what God has created in you. In that, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You're new in Christ. And consequently, that being said, that's created in righteousness and holiness. But very specifically, what in the world does that look like? I mean, that's fine. I mean, that's one of those lofty Christianese kind of terms. You are to be righteous and holy. And you might kind of float around up there with that concept a little bit. But folks, Paul's bringing it right down here. He says, let me tell you what that really looks like. And folks, it's the rest of the book. The rest of the book describes very specifically in practical application of what that looks like. And so, Ephesians chapter 4, 25 through chapter 5, you can say, hey, it's your code of conduct. It's how you're supposed to act. It's how you're supposed to live. But since I'm supposed to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and giving the series Change Your Clothes, in these next several verses, I want to tell you specifically, hey, you need the Christian's wardrobe. And what does that look like? And so we have a backdrop on our PowerPoint of a pinstripe shirt. I don't know if you can tell that or not, but anyway, that's what I was thinking of. But a little aside for those who are into decor. But nevertheless, what does he say in the beginning? Therefore, because of all that proceeds, you lay aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. When you begin to look at these verses and see them unfold, specifically those right after this, you'll see, first of all, a negative. It might be mentioned later in the verse, but there will be a negative instruction and a positive instruction coupled with a reason for that instruction and why it's there and why he's telling us to behave that way. So first of all, in this verse, consider the prohibition, the negative instruction, that he's giving here. The prohibition, he says, hey, you need to lay aside falsehood. Well, get this, lay aside falsehood. You know what? You see it when you'll see it alliterated in the Greek. Pseudonym, you know, false, that preface, that's to see it transliterated. Falsehood. Falsehood. Anything contrary to the truth. We call this lying. Lying. And so we begin to ask this question, well, what do we know about lying and those who might practice lying? Well, first of all, God hates lying. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 17, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him, haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. But a lying tongue. God does not like lying. When he tells us, thou shalt not, and this of course is, this is from the King James, thou shalt not bear false witness. In the Ten Commandments, those are not the ten, see if I can trip you up. That's not why God issued. Those stem from His character and who He is. He's a God of truth. And He cannot lie. And so He hates lying. It stems from His character. We also know that the book of Revelation says, and this one's tough, liars face judgment. What does that mean? Revelation chapter 21 says, But for all... cowardly and unbelieving, abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and, finally, you get there, all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And you say, wait a minute, you might say, Pastor Dave, hold it. But I've told a lie. Have I told a lie? Yes. Does that mean that because of that lie that I'm going to face that judgment? Well, let me answer that question from 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. In that, let me turn there and get that. In 1 John chapter 2, there is a distinction between those who have a character of lying and then the believer. We're going to distinguish this a little bit later on. But in 1 John, I'm in Peter, that will not work. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, that's... The one who says he abides in him ought to himself also to walk in the manner as he walked. Beloved, where do I got that? Oh, there it is, verse 4. Sorry, I got that wrong verse. The one who says, I have come to know Him, and does not keep His commandments is a what? A liar, and the truth is not in him. And we'll talk about this in a little bit later on. Verse 5. But the one who says verse 6. And the one who says he abides in him ought to walk in the same manner as he walked. There is a picture here of our walking and the direction that we're headed. And so it pictures a pattern for the believer. There's not supposed to be a pattern of lying, which means that you need to ask yourself this question. If you seem to have a heart that is prone to constantly lying, I just would submit to you that on the basis of the Word of God, the life that seems to be speaking lies, whose character continues to deceive, whose heart is one of deception, they need to just ask themselves before the Lord a very serious question. Am I truly born again? Am I truly born again? Do I really know Christ as Savior? Because there is a distinction, there is to be a distinction between those who profess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not to lie, as opposed to those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and are continually practicing deception. Because you see, liars also, and I'm saying this, although it's a hard saying, are of the devil. In John chapter 8, verse 44, it says, you are of the father, the devil. You want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. There's no truth in the devil at all. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3, it says that we're the children of wrath, meaning that we still have that association with the devil. So understand this, please. There is a distinction between the believer and the unbeliever in this area. But if you're an unbeliever, you might ask this question. Is there any hope? Is there any hope for me? If it seems as I look into my heart that I seem bound by deception, that I have a difficulty speaking truth, is there hope for me? Yes, there's hope for the unbeliever. Psalms chapter 32 and verse 2 says, how blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit. What does that mean? It means you need to be, first of all, honest with yourself before the Lord in your condition. You cannot, if you want to make clean, you've got to come clean. You've got to be honest. You must be honest before the Lord about the condition. It's a blessed thing to not be deceived. Because you see, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The result of being in sin is death, is that condemnation, but there is that free gift of salvation. So praise the Lord, there's hope. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of work, so that no one should boast. But you might say, well, wait a minute. If I'm a believer, and I know I am deep down in my heart, but I find that there are times that I don't tell the truth. Well, what about someone, and then you might be sitting here and you might be very skeptical. Maybe you're the unbeliever and you say, you know what? There's someone that supposedly knew the Lord Jesus Christ and professed to be a Christian. But man, they lied right to my face so bad I can hardly forgive them for it. I might not know what the circumstances might be. But what about those who might claim Christ, a believer, and yet there's the lie that happens once in a while, every now and then, and then there's that one that it just seems so contrary to that character? Two possible scenarios for that believer. I'm going to suggest this, that individual may only profess belief. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4 says this, as we read. The one who says, I have come to know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. That's a lie in and of itself. To practice that life of deception and sin and of lying, and then come over here on the other hand and say, but I'm a believer. It's like oil and water. It doesn't fit together. And so that in and of itself is a lie. And I'm just going to suggest to you, upon the basis of 1 John chapter 2, verse 4, of the possibility. Possible, not God. Don't know for sure, but it would seem to me that the Bible would indicate that that person probably only professes belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who says, I've come to know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But there is that other possibility, and that is this. The believer who simply has sinned. The believer who simply has sinned. And praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The one who, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, but if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just or righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No, we're not perfect. We're not perfect. We may lie, yes, but there is, when we confess, that forgiveness that we can have from the Lord Jesus Christ. But then you would come to this verse and you would think, as we back up a little bit and consider the whole passage back in Ephesians, well, who's he talking about? Who's he really talking about? You wouldn't think that he would talk about the church and Christians. Folks, that's exactly who he's addressing. And that would indicate to me that this is something that I need. If I'm a believer and I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior, and if I want to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, that means that I ought to be very serious as I look at this list in Ephesians that Paul gives out about the instruction. And he says in that passage, listen, you need to put off falsehood. You need to put away lying. You need to stop that. Don't do it. Lay aside falsehood. So, you might ask yourself, what does lying include? What is a falsehood? Well, the obvious one is a direct untruth. You know, there's Johnny, and there was the cake on the counter, and Mom said, don't lick any of that icing. But it was just, you know, too much for little Johnny, and he had to come along and put his finger in there, and some got on his lips in the process. And she says, right, Johnny, did you take a lick of that icing? And there's icing all over his lip. No. You know, there's that red-handed, you know, direct untruth. There's that little white lie. You know, it's just, it's not quite as bad as the other. It's just a little bit off. It's not that bad. Well, be careful. How about this next one? Exaggeration. It's the fish story, you know. You know, you all know about that. You know, I caught one this big. You know, you've all seen that one. Well, I'm really talking about that size. It embellishes the truth by adding false information. We do have to distinguish between a story done under the guise of fiction. If you know that it's just a story done under that framework, under that scenario, it'll be recognized as such. But an exaggeration done under the guise of nonfiction by adding false information, be careful. Be careful. How about this? Cheating in school on a test or taxes. Ooh. You say, Pastor, now you're meddling. Well, I'm just going to suggest to you, does not the Apostle Paul start meddling when he says, this is what the wardrobe looks like? This is how it really is. Okay? This is how it really is. Foolish promises. I got to watch it on this one. Yeah, I'll do it. Ouch. Ouch. Betraying a confidence. Hey, I promise I won't tell a soul. Next thing you know, the whole church knows. Be careful. How about this one? Flattery. Now, I don't know what happened this past week, but at least I heard on the news that some people did not like the dress of Michelle Obama. I don't know, but one of the 5 o'clock news hour, one of the comments, they go, and it was a reporter was even saying, she's got to recognize that she's now the first lady of the United States, and she's got to think that thing through. I don't know. So I just imagine what might have happened that night. You know, dear, what do you think about this dress? That's fine. That's okay. Don't worry about it. You know. What do you do? That's the ugliest thing I ever saw in your life. Why did you even buy that one? I don't know. We need to be careful. That probably didn't happen, I'm sure. But how about making excuses? Making excuses. Be careful. And then withholding. Hey, what about this one? But I didn't tell them. Withholding information for this purpose. The purpose for the withholding of the information is to deceive. In real estate, you've got to do what? Disclose. The world understands this. Okay? Now, is there hope for all this? Yes. We said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, righteous, to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, what about the positive instruction? We're supposed to, speak truth. When one becomes a Christian, he is to adopt a pattern and life of truth. Why is that so crucial? Because the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ is the very embodiment of truth. We are to put upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible, whom we preach from, is truth. John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. John 14:17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him. But you know Him. You know Him, the Holy Spirit. You know why? He abides in you and He will be in you. And He indeed is the Spirit of truth. So once again, I proclaim to you this, that as we look at this teaching and in the next couple verses, there are some who might say, you really shouldn't meddle. We all believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross to save us from our sins. We believe that there's one God. We believe in the Bible. So let's just take our beliefs and let's just stop right there and keep everything in that narrow box, but let's never get to the meddling, the application to how I'm supposed to live. My dear friend, you'd have to cut out half of Romans, you'd have to cut out part of Colossians, you'd have to cut out part of Ephesians, you'd have to cut out the Word of God if you did that. Because Paul is saying, be truthful. We have a responsibility to confront error and wrong actions. We should be the pattern of truth. We have a responsibility to confront error. Let's go back to that. Where am I? Got confused here. Okay, I know where I am. In the Penn Valley Community Church. Never mind. We have a responsibility to confront error. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2 says, "Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We speak truth of what the Word of God says." Now, folks, why do I tell you over and over and over and over and over again what is the first principle of biblical interpretation? Context. Context determines meaning. And there can be division within Protestantism over things that, you know, they're not absolutely crucial, but you've got Baptist immersionists and Presbyterians sprinkling, and yeah, some of that may or may not be. But you know, there are some things, you know, who wrote Hebrews? Oh. But folks, there's some things that do matter. There's some things that do matter. And folks, we need to be very careful about how we... I'm just laying some seed here for future dates. Be very careful. Be very careful. So we are to speak what? Truth. There is one interpretation of Scripture. When Paul wrote things, or Peter, or Moses, he didn't mean two different things. There's one interpretation, but many, 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 many applications. So speak truth. Now, well, you might say out there and say, "You better believe it, because I'm going to speak the truth." Well, be careful. Because when we go back, I alluded to in the beginning of the message, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, speak the truth in love. So, do I have to filter this in a qualified way to make sure that I'm doing it right? Yes, I have to filter the truth through love. So, let me suggest this. How can I do that? Folks, if I'm going to speak the truth and I'm going to filter it through love, I'm going to be cautious about the next things. Don't tell all, regardless of the impact. I'm just going to let them have it. They need to hear this. Well, maybe they do, but maybe they don't need to hear it in that way. Ask the Lord to give you the wisdom. Truth is not loving if it's going to cause pain. Find another way. Ask the Lord to give you the wisdom. Do not betray a confidence or a legitimate secret. That would not be speaking the truth in love. Do not, and here's the other one, do not unburden all feelings of ill will and hatred. Do not unburden all feelings of ill will and hatred. And this goes very close with this one. Do not confess sins to another for the purpose of your cleansing so you can feel better. Do not confess sins to another for the purpose of cleansing. That's just some form of pop psychology. Why do I say that? Because you need to get a hold of the cleansing that God can give in relationship to whatever sin you're bearing. He's the one that forgives. He's the one. I'm speaking in generalities now as I list these things. So don't confess sins to another. So you might have to go to your grave with some of the information that you have. You don't have to just tell it just for the sake of telling it. if it's not going to do any good. So, you know, that is not speaking the truth. In what? Love. It means you got to think about the other person. Okay? Think about the other person. Why? Why are we doing that in love? Why do we all this idea of being truthful? Because, see, the motive, the reason for the instruction is we are members of one another. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. You are to be obedient to the truth, but you've purified your souls with a sincere love of the brethren. We're one body. You can't function as a church and as a body unless truth is absolute reigning in that body and that there isn't a fervent love for one another. And then Romans chapter 12, verse 5. So we, who are many, we're one body in Christ and individual members one of another. I think there's some sense in which you can say a person deceives themselves in that they may not be honest with themselves. But it would be really weird, you know, if you say, I'm going to really cheat myself. That would just be very odd to purposefully do that. And the concept here is the union between truth and the effect that it would have in the body. And so live out truth. Live out truth. Be truthful. Be truthful. And folks, I don't think that if we're honest with ourselves, there's some aspect of this message that all of us need. And so I would encourage you, as a believer, to look at the Word, to go before the Lord and say, Lord, I've changed my clothes. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to put Him on. And I want to put on Christ. So, Lord, help me to lay aside falsehood, to speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor. Here, the neighbor is the church. Generally, neighbor could be anybody. We speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of what? One another. Now, that's not saying, I can lie to everybody else who's not a Christian. Don't be that sordid, no. There's also the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not what? Lie. So, be truthful. Treat one another with love and honesty in the Lord. Tempering. Be careful. Temper everything. Filter everything through love. But be truthful. Live out your life and be like Christ. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Has the Holy Spirit spoken to your heart this morning? Would you go before the Lord, believer, if you need to confess something? Just take the time to do it. If you're here and you don't know Christ, my dear friend, the greatest step towards truth is to turn your life over to the Lord. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Would you take a moment and be honest with God about the condition of your soul? if it's not right, is God doing a work in your heart in such a way that it's saying this, I'm a sinner, I can't save myself, I seem to be utterly, hopelessly lost, and I need the forgiveness of God. Would you turn to Him, repent of your sin, and accept the sacrifice of Christ by faith? Our gracious Heavenly Father, would You continue to seal the message in our heart and life by the working of the Holy Spirit? For we pray in Thy name. Amen.